Looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around. Even under his wings, day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." This summer, I got into this sort of by chance. And reading this passage and reading Revelation 5, which we'll venture into here in a minute, has truly changed my worship of God. And as we look at this passage, the temptation will be for some of us to say, "Oh, heaven, let's talk about heaven." Today's sermon is not about heaven. It's about our own worship with God. And whether that worship is this time right here, or whether that worship is on a hike, or whether that worship is our daily prayers, whether our worship is whatever it is, this passage made me look at worship in a whole new way. In fact, I got a text today from Doug Neiman and said, "I'm praying for you. This is your spiritual worship to God." And I thought, wow, me talking today is my worship to God. And so as you stop, I've got some really cheesy pictures. I apologize for those. I'm so technically not savvy. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. We start with this, and we think about the throne of God. And it talks about someone sitting on the throne. And I got thinking about this throne. And excuse the analogy, but I got thinking about the throne because this isn't approachable. I'm not intimidated to go to God in my worship. I don't get scared when I go to worship. And yet when we think about the throne of God, maybe there's some fear in it. And the best analogy for me was I thought about Santa Claus. You know, there is some fear sometimes for little kids going to Santa Claus, but that's a welcoming, warm place to go. We go and sit on the lap. Thank you. This is not Santa Claus, but yet God's throne is a welcoming, warm place that we can go to. If you'll hit the slide, we think about the passage in Hebrews that says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need." So as I thought about Revelation 4 and as I pictured this man on the throne, I thought about in my prayers, I can go to God and I can say, "I can approach you today with confidence. I don't care what happened last night. I can approach you with confidence." And then it goes on and it talks about in Revelation 4 that there's an aura of jasper
And there's an aura of ruby. Next slide. And the two jewels. And to me, I got thinking about the worship of God. And the two stones that talked about. And for me, so many times my worship is thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I pray often, if I have anything for God, I want to be thankful. I just want to be. I need to be humble. I need to be faithful. I need to be loving. I need to persevere. I need to have faith. Yes, but God, I just want you to be thankful. But what I felt like I was missing is that I approached this throne and I looked up and I saw this God sitting on his throne, is I missed the worship part. And if you look at the stones, what the first stone was, the first stone was like a clear stone. It was like a diamond. Today, we look at it and more as red. But back then, it talked about a diamond, a clear stone, a brilliant stone, a radiant stone, a stone with great splendor. Slide. And so, as we approach the throne of God, as we go to our worship on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, we have to stop. We have to look at the throne. We have to look at God, and we have to say, God, you are great. God, you are awesome. I was missing glorifying God in my worship. Today, as we talk about worship, as we think about the altar of God, we're thinking about going to the presence of God. Being in the presence of God is to be surrounded by splendor. God is magnificent in splendor, a vast and terrifying splendor. We approach him who dwells in an unapproachable light, resplendent with light. In his presence, we encounter the Holy One. God is majestic in holiness, utterly, radically, and altogether unlike anything in all creation. He is holy, other, altogether unlike us. He's transcendent. He's set apart high above, utterly beyond. God is so holy that his angels, sinless beings themselves, are overwhelmed by the Creator's holiness, crying out day and night, holy, holy, holy. He's a consuming fire, a jealous God, a God who despises, abhors, detests, and banishes sin from his presence. This is the God that I'm looking at on the altar. This is the God of splendor that I'm going before. I'm taken back. I'm moved. God, you are awesome. This incredible God. That's the one stone. The other stone, the ruby. Slide. I know you guys can't see the slide, but maybe. Oh. The ruby was red. And which for me, as I study what I believe the aura is of this throne, was that God is a God of redemption. He was not just a holy God, almighty, powerful, but he was our Father. God and Father. He's a God of redemption, a God of mercy, a God of grace. Our worship is not just to this awesome God, but it's also to this incredible Father. The thankfulness for the forgiving God, the grace, the merciful Father. He's the Father that runs to the Son. He is the Father that reaches out to us. As was been said, when we look at it, we don't feel near to God, we ask who moved. He's the God that continues to move towards us. In 1 John 4:16, he is the God of love. It doesn't state that God loves. It says God is love. It's not that he just does loving things. It's that God is love. At the very core of his being is love. And all that he is and prompts all that he does is love. We have this God. We picture this God on this throne. This awesome, almighty, splendor God. Picture this God, our Father, all forgiving. A God that everything he does and everything that he prompts to do is about love. So I read this passage, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And then it talks about, it goes on and it says, and the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and sardius, a rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Rainbows. Putting myself out here. Last time I asked this question, it wasn't where I went. Rainbows in the Bible represent promises. Now, when I see a rainbow, I see a half a rainbow. You know, and we go, ooh. Or we see a quarter of a rainbow. Has anybody ever seen a full circle rainbow? Okay, so I'm not the only one. We were looking last night. Did anybody see a rainbow last night? Would have been a perfect night for rainbow. Rainbows were about the promises of God. What does it say about this? It says in its circles. End to end. God's promises never end. They go round and round and round. In the Bible, a couple slides. There, next slide. There are over 3,000 promises of God in the Bible. Over 3,000 that never, ever end. I read yesterday, and so I changed what I was going to do here. 1 Corinthians 1, it talks about something, and I guess I'd never seen this as it hit me. 1 Corinthians 1, in verse 4. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way. In all your speaking and in all your knowledge. Because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into his fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Right there, I just read it and I thought, wow, this is the promises of God. These are the promises that are true for you. And it hit me, it says, you've been enriched in every way. That's a promise of God. It says, in all your speaking, or it says you've been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, and in all your knowledge. That's a promise of God. He will keep you strong to the end. That's a promise of God. Then it says, you'll have fellowship, called into fellowship with his Son. Promise of God. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Over 3,000 promises of God. So I'm looking at this throne. I'm reading my Bible. I'm picturing this. And I'm picturing the promises of God that never end, that will continue on and on and on for me. And I picture the throne. Can we have a slide, please? And it says there that as all this was happening, the 24 elders had their crowns on. And they saw the throne of God. But they had their nice golden crown. But they saw the throne of God. And they took off the throne of God. And they said, this is not worth it. I'm going to the throne of God. They laid down their crowns. And I thought, what's really worth today? In my worship with God, am I really taking my gold crown off? As I pray in the day, am I really taking off the best thing I have and putting it aside and worshiping my God? As I come in here, And this has helped me, and I'm hope I'm growing. But as they're singing, am I really taking time to take off my crown of what I'm going to have for lunch and worshiping God? Am I taking off my crown of my problems? Or am I maybe just, you know, I'll give him the crown, but I want to keep that. Am I laying down my crown? Am I giving God my best in my worship? And I pictured these guys all coming forward, taking off their crowns. And I went, wow, that's incredible. They gave it all. There was nothing worth looking at the throne of God. They were in that awe. They were that blown away with thankfulness. Slide, please. Next slide. Next slide. And so here I am, and I'm reading this passage, and I'm working with it. And Cindy has to listen to me put these thoughts together. And then I just stop, and I look at God, and I look at him on the throne, and I look at the two jewels, and the aura of God, and the magnificence of God, and the splendor of God, and the thankfulness of God. And I see the promises being encircled, and I see the men laying off their crown, and I go, I've got to stand in awe of his power and his glory. Stand in awe with trembling and fear. Stand in awe, you're sovereign and you're holy. Lord, oh God, I've got to stand in awe. Huh? Your power and your glory. Stand in awe with trembling and fear. Stand in awe, your sovereign and your holy. Lord, oh God, we stand in awe. Amen. Thank you. So that was Revelation 4. So you got to go on, right? So next slide. We go on to Revelation 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. Slide. So I've got this picture going on. Now I read this. And what's happening is John sees this scroll that can't be opened. There are mysteries that cannot be unlocked. The people need to know this, and he's holding it in his hands. And he sees the angels holding it, and he's like, they cannot be unlocked. And he starts to cry. He's like, God, I've got to know what's going on. This has to be unlocked. And these people try to unlock it, and nobody can do it. Nobody is worthy. And he's standing there in front of the throne. He's standing there, the circles. He's standing there. The 24 elders have their crown off. And he looks over there, and he sees a mutilated lamb, a slain sacrifice of God. He sees Jesus and the crown beaten into his head. Holes in his hands, face swollen, back torn to shreds. In fact, it says that he is unrecognizable. Spit coming down out of his face. And yet, standing victoriously there before him. This is not a beaten sacrifice. This is a victorious sacrifice. Mutilated, but overcoming anything that could be thrown at him. So I'm picturing God. I'm picturing the throne. And now I see the sacrifice and the victorious Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is victorious. Whatever may be going on, he stands. Next slide. Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus, the fountain free, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the way, the truth, the life, the Messiah, the Christo, the Son of Mary, the Lion of Judah, the Redeemer, standing there, the Son of God, my Lord Jesus Christ. What was John picturing this day? He was picturing a God, a Father, and a sacrifice, his brother, Jesus Christ, before him. And he was in awe. It is so easy, as we pray, as we worship, to get our eyes off Jesus Christ. I'm sure for the other men and women that get up here, and when you've done it, it's so easy to get focused on you. I pray hard that God takes me out of this. I actually pray that I'll stumble, so then I'm embarrassed, and then the Holy Spirit can move. We have got to continue to going back and looking at the victorious Jesus Christ standing there for our lives. And then it moves on. And if you looked in verse 8, next slide, yeah, there it is. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp. They were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Flip over to Revelation chapter 8. Said in verse 1, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Side note, stop and think about that. I know we've skipped through different seals and whatever, but when he opened this seal, what happened? There was a silence for 30 minutes. It's a long time. I think God wanted to get some attention to the people. Doug and I went on a scuba dive this summer, probably told you about it. Went to a cave dive, never did a cave dive. Kind of reckless. But at the end of the dive, they had us holding hands like kindergartners walking us through this. But at the end, you came to a dome of silence. Have you ever been to a place that's absolutely silent? It's weird. This place was absolutely silent, the dome of silence. There was 30 minutes of silence in heaven. And then it says, another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altars of the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hands. So we've got the throne. We've got our Savior, the victorious Jesus Christ. And then you have an angel holding a golden bowl, the most precious bowl you can have, and the prayers of the saints. And he puts them together. And he lays them on the altar of God. And as I read this, I got thinking, you know, I guess I've kind of had the thought that prayer has an expiration date on it. You know, I pray, then after 2 days, it's gone. I'm sorry. No, these prayers are taken with a spice, with a sense, with something to attract God's attention, his aroma, mixed with our prayers. So maybe I don't quite word something just right. It's still mixed together to go right to God and lay it on his altar forever. That prayer you prayed yesterday is being smelt and being attentive to God right now. That prayer you prayed last year is still there on the altar. That prayer that you prayed and prayed, and you, I know you pray every day, just continues to go on God's altar because he honors our prayers. They're important. They're precious. I feel so often, I think, I just wish I could pray. The men challenged me this week. It was tough. They challenged us to wrestle in prayer. And then they went on to say, okay, wrestling's like this, which wrestling's something I know a little about. I thought, wow, do I really wrestle that hard for people in prayer? That was challenging, Gooch. But sometimes we don't know just how to wrestle. That's okay, because God just puts a little more in the golden censer to mix with that prayer and put it on the altar and lay there before you. And every day God is smelling you. Every day God is paying attention to you and those prayers. Don't stop praying. Give it more and more. And here's what happens. You got the golden bowl. You got the incense put together. How does it get there? The angel delivers it. Special delivery by the angel. God, I got something to give you today. Lay it on the altar. Lay it there on the altar. As I just read these passages, it just got me thinking about approaching the throne of God and being in God's presence. But you have come to Mount Zion, to a heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? And at that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more, I will not only shake the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. And therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptedly with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
So close. Thanks to Jim Albert again, and for everybody else for a great worship service. Sometimes it's just really good for us to step back and just really get the picture of what it means to come to the throne, to truly understand what it means to be in communion with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. I have a brief announcement I want to read, but I was moved to just make this comment before I read this letter, which is both from our board and from our leadership team, and that is, we have a faithful God. And I think that this has been a really challenging couple of years, but we have some good news we want to announce today. So I'm going to read an announcement. This is to the church. It is on behalf of our leadership team and of our board. And mainly, I think it's just a way of saying thank you to God for some things that have developed for the church. So I'll read this. Last fall, we found ourselves and our congregation in dire need of healing, direction, and leadership. We prayed for God's Spirit to direct us, to give us faith, and to send help. Our call to Jim Lenahan and the Northview Church And their swift action to bring help gave us hope and comfort. We experienced a first century rescue, a strong church helping a weaker church weather a storm. We are forever grateful to the Northview Church and leadership team for their generosity, prayer, time, effort, and sacrifice. They have shown the love of God through their words, actions, and spirit. This help from Northview involved their sending worship leaders, feeding us a meal, praying for us continually, and allowing us to have Fenton Gardner as our interim minister to help us grow through healing and faith and to be made new. Fenton, Natasha, Chloe, and Noel have given their hearts to Cornerstone since December and have truly become part of our hearts as well. Fenton's passion, excitement, love, faith, and preaching have made a significant impact on Cornerstone. He has gone far beyond the role of interim minister by his service and hard work. Today, the Cornerstone leadership team and the board of directors are happy to announce that we have offered Fenton the full-time role of evangelist for Cornerstone, and he has graciously accepted. Fenton will officially begin his new role on August 1st, just in time. Fenton, Natasha, and the family are on a well-deserved vacation and will be back next week. We want to thank you, all of you, our brothers and sisters, for your love, for your patience, for your kindness and support of us and for each other, and your commitment to God and Cornerstone. This is truly a remarkable announcement for us to make today. The one last comment, I'll just, for context, there'll be a hard copy that we'll send out. And that this news is being shared with the teachers. Another letter of support and encouragement is being shared at Northview. And we will be sending out other communications to our sister churches. This is a day to celebrate. Amen.